Singing. I just realized I missed Sister Betty with a book, and I'll definitely got one for her. And okay, Brother Steve's going to take it. And if I miss anyone else, just let me know. Oh, okay, Brother Mel. Okay. Casey was wondering about the chronology of that round that we there. See, the 30-year mark was when Brother Steve and Sister Valerie came down to Chilliwack, and that's when they started working there. And then later came up here to Kamloops. But we just thank the Lord for faithful service in the ministry, whether it be here, Chilliwack, or somewhere else. And so thank you, Brother Steve. Well, today, as you know, is Thanksgiving Sunday. I'd like to focus our thoughts on being thankful in prayer. I'll read you a story here. I don't know if it's true. It says, two men were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull. Instantly, they darted towards the nearest fence. Has anyone here ever had to run from a bull? They can be kind of scary. I've worked with cows a little bit. Never had a charging bull, but anyway. So they darted for the nearest fence. The storming bull followed in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent they wouldn't make it. Terrified, the one shouted to the other, put up a prayer, John, we're in for it. John answered, I can't. I never made a public prayer in my life. You must, implored his companion. The bull is catching up to us. All right, panted John. I'll say the only prayer I know, the one my father used to repeat at the table. O Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful. So the area of thanksgiving in prayer. As you know, many of the Psalms of David are full of thanksgiving. The prayer, Christ's model prayer, which some call the Lord's Prayer, starts off with thanksgiving. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, our Father which art in heaven. Starts off with thanksgiving and praise. And we see many admonitions of the Apostle Paul giving us examples and telling us to give thanks in prayer, to make our supplications, our petitions with thanksgiving. Let's look at a few factors in how and when to offer up thanksgiving in prayer. Let's take a look at Psalms chapter 26, Psalms chapter 26, verses 6 through 7. First factor we're looking at is that it has to be done with clean hands. You know, it can't be stressed enough that when we pray before the Lord, we have to come with known sin confessed, or to be coming with the prayer of repentance. It disturbs me sometimes to see people that are clearly living in sin, talking about, oh, I'll pray for you in that situation, or I'll pray for that situation. You're saying, but God says he will not hear our prayers if we have iniquity in our heart. So we must first come and repent. And then the Lord will hear our prayers. Psalms 26, verses 6 through 7. I will wash mine hands in innocency. Now, this is not the physical washing. This is the washing of our heart. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. You know, if I know that I have sin between me and God, if my fellowship is broken, do you think I can come before the Lord with thanksgiving? I might come with a disjointed prayer, trying to make it sound good, but do you really think I'm going to actually come before the Lord in thanksgiving? It's not going to happen. Same thing with you. If you've injured someone, you've done someone a disservice, you've sinned against them, you're not going to be able to have that relationship with them where you'd be able to thank them with a genuine heart. You're always going to be thinking, oh, but I've wronged you. Same thing with with our relationship with God. We have to confess known sin when it comes to any prayer outside of that prayer of repentance, which is the confession of sin. Take a look in Amos. Amos chapter 4. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Amos chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Now here the Lord is talking about those that come with prayers of thanksgiving, but they come with sin. Come to Bethel and transgress at Gil. Multiply transgression and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this thinketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God, and I will give you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And he goes on to speak about how he's withholding the rain from them. These first two verses, he's rebuking them. He's saying, you're so full of yourselves. You do all these sacrifices. You say these prayers of thanksgiving. You proclaim and publish the free offerings. You're going through the motions, but you have not returned to me. And before we can offer up a prayer of thanksgiving, we have to ensure that we are in fellowship with the Lord. We have to return unto him. The Lord wasn't interested in all that because it was hypocritical. They were saying one thing and doing another. Somewhat related to this is that our thanksgiving has to be genuine. The next point, genuine thanksgiving. Take a look at Psalms chapter 69. Psalms chapter 69, verses 30 and 31. Can't be any pretentiousness there. Cannot be any hypocrisy. It has to be genuine. From the heart. Psalms 69, verses 30 through 31. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. Notice there, David is saying, you know what? God is more interested in genuine thanksgiving than all the sacrifices that you would like to make from a sinful, wicked heart, that where there's no sincerity. You're just going through the motions. And he says, the Lord, of course, he wanted his people during this time frame. He wanted them to offer up sacrifices. But the point is that it was not just to be these vain, empty sacrifices that were just ritualistic. He was more interested. He wanted genuine thanksgiving. Carrying on with that, there was the offering of sacrifices. Point number four, offering of sacrifices of thanksgiving. Take a look at Psalms 107. We recently were looking at on Wednesday nights, we were looking at the various sacrifices that they gave. And some of those sacrifices were that of thanksgiving. Psalms 107, 21 and 22. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. So, offering sacrifices of thanksgiving. Well, you might say, okay, that's interesting. That was part of the Old Testament era. I guess we don't have to worry about that, you might think. I believe we do have to consider that. And, you know, when it comes to, what does the Bible say about sacrifices in the New Testament? Our bodies are to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So we are to offer sacrifices. There's been times in our family when the Lord has done something for us, has blessed us in a certain way, or I vaguely got a situation in my mind, can't remember the particulars of it, but the Lord blessed us anyway. And the Lord laid it upon my heart and the heart of my wife that we should offer up a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and not in the way of a little fire in the backyard, but rather we sent some money to an orphanage, a Christian orphanage, and we wanted to give back to the Lord as a token of our thanksgiving for what he had done. So to offer up sacrifice of thanksgiving, again, largely our bodies, giving our bodies a living sacrifice. Now, point number five, let's take a look at Jonah. Jonah chapter 2. Obadiah, Jonah. Jonah chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. This is the part of the prayer of Jonah. We're going to only go into the last half of it because we'll probably look at this some other time, the rest of the prayer. But we're going to look at verses 9 and 10. And this is when he was in the belly of the whale. And so the next point is, thanksgiving even during chastisement. Point number five. Thanksgiving even during chastisement. He was being chastened because he had run away from God. He had run away from what God had told him to do, to go and preach against the city of Nineveh. We pick it up at verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited up out Jonah upon the dry land. So even thanksgiving during chastisement. The chastisement was not over yet. You notice that it was done before he was spit out. And when we find ourselves in a situation like that, and hopefully it's not going to be that often where the Lord has to chasten us, hopefully we'll respond to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit when he pricks us. And when he says, you've got sin here, you need to turn around, you need to repent, going in the wrong direction, whatever it might be. Hopefully we turn. But if we have not turned, and the Lord has to exercise chastisement on us, when we recognize it and say, okay, Lord, now I see what's going on here. I'm in sin. Lord, please forgive me. And at the same time say, Lord, thank you for this chastisement. Thank you for doing this. And it should be the same thing as if you're pulled over by the police and you're given a speeding ticket. You know, as much as you hate looking at that ticket and knowing, you know, what that means to you, you should be able to say, okay, thank you. Thank you for doing your job. You know, I guess I needed that. I was driving dangerously, driving fast, whatever the case might be. But when you think about the Lord, we need to be thankful even during chastisement. And that's what Jonah did here. Well, next point is that we see that thanksgiving glorifies God. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. I have to confess, I still have so much to learn when it comes to offering up thanksgiving and really understanding the value that God places on our praise and worship. There's some points to it that you sit back and you wonder and you say, well, why would the Almighty Creator of the world want my worship? Why would he want my praise? And yet he does. And it's not to stroke his ego, because he's all powerful. He is the master of the universe. We see here that it glorifies him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, we read, for all things are for your sakes, for the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So notice there, the abundant grace, and in the context here, he is speaking about the trials and tribulations that were placed upon the Paul himself and the apostles, how they were persecuted but not forsaken, cast down and not destroyed. But he's speaking about how it the positive effect that it had on the believers in the church at Corinth, and how that this abundant grace, the grace that God gave them, the apostles, might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. So as the believers in Corinth and other churches thanked God for the grace that he gave to the apostles during those times of tribulation, it would redound, the product would be the glory of God. I'm sure that right now, as we know, there are many Christians that are facing persecution and even death in countries like Syria. And I'm sure that if we had opportunity to hear some of the stories of God's grace during these times of trials and tribulations, that would cause us much thanksgiving, much awe, looking at what God is doing in their lives. And the product is ultimately the glory of God. So thanksgiving glorifies God. Let's take a look now in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Thanksgiving, point number 7, thanksgiving for provision following sacrifice. In this chapter here, you read about those that are sowing spiritually. And like in verse 6, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I was trying to get this point across this morning to one of our children. One of our children thought that her piggy bank had been robbed by her younger brother, and her younger brother had some money in his Ziploc bag to bring to Sunday school. And she was so sure that it was her money, and we had no way of proving it. So we said, well, you know, but think about this. If that is your money, you're giving it to God. What do you have to lose? You know, you sow bountifully. It was a hard point to make this morning. But the thanksgiving following provision. We read here about how in verse 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. So thanksgiving for sacrifice, because we see that how God provides the bountifulness. The next point, number 8, thanksgiving for prayers not yet answered. Let's take a look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I mean, you can think of Abraham's servant praying there for a wife for Isaac at the well back in Genesis, and how the Lord answered his prayer before he had finished. And he showed great thanksgiving. But let's take a look here at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Now, when it says here, be careful for nothing, as you'll probably know, remember, it is saying that we are not to be wound up with cares. We're not supposed to be like a tightly wound ball full of cares. Philippians 4, 6. Got the wrong reference with the wrong verse. Here we go. We'll read verses 4 to 6. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now that's something interesting, isn't it? How we're to make our requests with thanksgiving. We're not supposed to be wound up with care and saying, Lord, are you going to answer this prayer? But instead we say, Lord, I've got a prayer for you. And I don't know how you're going to answer it, but I'm going to thank you right now for answering this prayer. And I'm going to enjoy watching how you're going to answer this prayer. You know, sometimes there are things that we enjoy watching. I wish I could have stayed up a couple nights ago to see the eclipse. I knew about it, but sleep was more important to me. We've had some nights where this, you know, baby woke up or other children woke up, and one night I woke up at 4 and couldn't get back to sleep, and went to sleep just before my alarm went off, and I had to take my mother-in-law to the airport. You know, those kinds of nights, right? Well, the other day, my mom, she got up and with anticipation got her chair out and her hot chocolate, and she watched the eclipse. And, you know, in the same sort of thing with prayer, we ought to kind of put out our request with thanksgiving and say, okay, Lord, Got my cocoa. How are you going to do this? How are you going to answer this? So thanksgiving for prayers not yet answered. One of the greatest prayers of thanksgiving ought to be for our salvation. Take a look at Psalms chapter 40, verses 1 through 3. Now, this verse doesn't speak specifically about eternal salvation, but he speaks about being brought out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And anytime a person repents of their sin, puts their trust in Christ, they are brought out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Not only in this life, but they obviously avoid hell in the life to follow. Psalms chapter 40, verses 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. And these are the words of a beautiful song. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. So you see there, thanksgiving for salvation. What God has done when he pulled us up out of the miry clay, set our feet on the rock. Let's take a look at another verse on this same theme. Psalms 118:21. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. Now when David said this, it could have referred to eternal salvation, or it could have been at the moment where there was an immediate need. Of course, the context here is speaking about Christ. You look at verse 22, the stone which the builders refused become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. And this is quoted in the New Testament in Matthew 21:42. Here he's speaking about how he'll praise him because he is his salvation. Do you praise the Lord because he is your salvation? Of course, the bigger question even before that is, have you experienced his salvation? Have you repented of your sins and put your trust in Christ? If you have not, then you do not have this area to be thankful for. And of course, as always, we'd say that if a person has never trusted in Christ, repented of their sins, that they want to do it today before it's too late. Obviously, any one of us could go any day, and we want to be prepared. So thankful for salvation. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Thankful for food. I'm sure this was probably a verse that my parents thought of when they were down in Mexico. They were sometimes offered food. They didn't know where it came from, what it actually was. My dad got through a meal once, and the missionary that gave them the meal would not tell them what it was until after. And then once she told my dad what he had eaten, the old Adam's apple was bouncing up and down, and he was trying to keep it all down. But let's take a look here. Thankfulness for food. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Every creature that they had down there in Mexico, right? So thankfulness for food. And of course, the list goes on and on. Thankfulness for water. Thankfulness for a roof over our head. For the daily provisions. For clothes and raiment, as the Lord says. Thankfulness for God's mercy. Take a look at Psalms 136. Thankfulness for God's mercy. And of course, this applies to salvation, but it also applies to the daily mercies that he gives us, day by day. You know, we really need to pay attention to those mercies, those blessings that he gives us, and catalog them. Count your many blessings, as the song says. Psalms 136, verse 26. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Something to be thankful for. Do you thank him for his mercy on a regular basis? Going back, the next point here, point number 12, thankfulness, or thanksgiving for gladness. Thanksgiving for gladness. Take a look at Psalms chapter 30. I don't know about you, but I don't like, and I've mentioned this before, I don't like having a negative weight on my chest. I like to have a positive outlook on life. I don't like to have despair and sadness clothe me. And here we see that, of course, it does clothe us from time to time, no doubt about it. You'll experience a loss, or you'll have someone that you love. You're gone into sin, and it disturbs you. But still, there is joy in the. Take a look at Psalms 30, verses 11 through 12. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. So thanksgiving for gladness, where God turns our sorrow, our mourning, into gladness. Do we thank him for that? Something we ought to do. The last point here is thanksgiving in every situation. Let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 through 18. If you remember, some time ago, a couple months ago, we read a newsletter from the Tebows, missionaries out in the Cameroon. And Brother Ty talked about how his truck broke down in a town when they're on their way to go somewhere, and how, you know, it was a little disturbing at first, but then they said, well, we're here. Let's start witnessing. And they told people the good news of salvation, the gospel. And people in that town got saved where they were broken down. So thankful for every situation. If you find yourself stranded on the highway, okay, say, okay, Lord, you did this for a reason. I know you're going to provide for me. And is there something you want me to do? And I had that situation when we broke down. If some of you recall, we broke down, Emily and I, and Caleb, when he was very young. We broke down in Valemont. Water pump went. And of course, the belt went along with it. And what did you know? The store, which was closing in 5 minutes, the Lordco there had my belt, had my water pump. A Mazda in a town of that size. God's hand. Thankful in every situation. Let's take a look. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 through 18. And by the way, the Lord did give me opportunities to witness that on that trip. So there was a reason. Okay, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Everything. Any situation that God places us in. Now, if I sin and my sin puts me in a situation. That's not being thankful. The thanksgiving that I'm going to offer is a different kind of thanksgiving. It goes back to what Jonah did, thanksgiving for chastisement, when God's chastening me. But the point is that when I'm in a situation that God has clearly placed me in, I'm going to be thankful, or I'm going to try to be thankful. That is the goal. That is the purpose. I read this story to many of you some time ago, but I want to read it again just to remind us, and for any that weren't there as we close here. If you recall, there was the Corey and Betsy Ten Boom out in Holland during the Second World War, and how they housed Jews. They kept them hidden from the Nazis. Well, these two sisters, who were not Jews, ended up in a concentration camp themselves. And their father and Betsy ended up dying in the concentration camp. Betsy's faith seemed to be much more rooted in the Lord than did Corey's, but Corey learned from her sister. And she speaks here in this story about a move that they had changed quarters. And she says here, the move to permanent quarters came the second week in October. That's right now. We were marched 10 abreast along the wide Cinder Avenue. Several times the column halted while numbers were read out. Names were never used at Ravensbrook. But at last, Betsy's and mine were called. We stepped out of line with a dozen or so others and stared at the long gray barracks front, the long gray front of Barracks 28. Betsy and I followed a prison guide through the door at the right. Because of the broken windows, the vast room was semi-twilight. Our noses told us first that the place was filthy. Somewhere, plumbing had backed up. The bedding was soiled and rancid. Then our eyes adjusted to the gloom, and we saw that that there were no individual beds at all, but great square tiers stacked three high and wedged side by side and end to end, with only an occasional narrow aisle slicing through. We followed our guide single file. The aisle was not wide enough for two, fighting back the claustrophobia of these platforms rising everywhere above us. At last, she pointed to the second tier in the center of a large block. To reach it, we had to stand on the bottom level, haul ourselves up, and then crawl across two or three straw-covered platforms to reach the one we would share with how many? The deck above us was too close to let us sit up. We lay back, struggling against the nausea that swept over us from the reeking straw. Suddenly, I sat up, striking my head on the cross slats above. Something had pinched my leg. "Fleas," I cried. "Betsy, this place is swarming with them." We scrambled across the intervening platforms, head low to avoid another bump. Ducking down the aisle, hedged our way to a patch of light. "Here, and another one here," I wailed to Betsy. "How can we live in such a place?" Show us how." It was said so matter-of-factly, it took me a second to realize she was praying. More and more, the distinction between prayer and the rest of our life seemed to vanish for Betsy. "Corey," she said excitedly, "he's given us the answer. Before we asked, as always, he does. In the Bible this morning, where was it? Read that part again." I glanced down the long, dim aisle to make sure no guard was in sight, then drew the Bible from its pouch. "It was in 1 Corinthians," I said. 1 Corinthians 5:14. We were on our third complete reading of the New Testament since leaving Schweningen. In the feeble light, I turned a page. Turned the pages. Here it is. "Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." It seemed written expressly to Ravensbrook. "Go on," said Betsy. "That wasn't all." "Oh, yes. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." "That's it, Corey. That's his answer. Give thanks in all circumstances." That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about this new barracks. I stared at her, then around me at the dark, foul-aired room. "Such as?" I said. "Such as being assigned here together." I bit my lip. "Oh, yes, Lord Jesus." "Such as what you're holding in your hands." I looked down at the Bible. "Yes, thank you, dear Lord, that there was no inspections when we entered here. Thank you for all these women here in this room who will meet you in these pages." "Yes," said Betty. "Thank you for the crowding here, since we're packed so close that so many will hear." She looked at me expectantly. "Corey," she prodded. "Oh, all right. Thank you for the jammed, crammed, stuffed, packed, suffocating crowds." "Thank you," Betsy went on serenely, "for the fleas and for..." "The fleas?" That was too much. "Betsy, there's no way that God can make me grateful for fleas." "Give thanks in all circumstances," she quoted. "It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are a part of this place where God has put us." And so we stood between tiers of bunks and gave thanks for fleas. But this time I was sure Betsy was wrong. One evening I got back to the barracks late from wood gathering. A wood gathering foray outside the walls. A light snow lay on the ground. It was hard to find the sticks and twigs with which a small stove was kept in each room. Betsy was waiting for me, as always, so we could wait through the food line together. Her eyes were twinkling. "You look extraordinarily pleased with yourself," I told her. "You know, we've never understood why we had so much freedom in the big room," she said. "Well, I found out." This afternoon, she said, there's been a confusion in her knitting group about sock sizes, and they asked the supervisor to come and settle it. But she wouldn't. She wouldn't step through the door, and neither would the guards. And you know why? Betsy could not keep the triumph in her voice because of the fleas. That's what she said. This place is crawling with fleas. My mind rushed back to our first hour in this place. I remember Betsy's bowed head, remembering her thanks to God for creatures I could see no use for. So we're told here to give thanks in every situation. Be careful for nothing. Where's our text here? Chapter 5, verse 14, on down. Rejoice every morning, verse 16. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. We're to give thanks in every situation that we are in, whether it involves fleas or no fleas. As we close, I ask you to consider, do you give thanks the way you ought to? Do you give thanks for God's salvation? Have you experienced God's salvation? Have you walked through that door? Do you thank him for the daily mercies? Do you thank him for the food? Do you thank him for everything that he puts in your path, that he allows to occur? Do you even thank him for the chastisement that he brings your way? As we know, it is for our good. It is to turn around the ship, to get us heading in the right direction. As little as we enjoy the chastisement, it is for our good. Do you thank him for that? I encourage you to incorporate some of these things into your prayer life and to be thanking the Lord. Ask Brother Steve to come at this time with a closing song. And if you've never trusted Christ, I'd encourage you today to do that.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.